Hey, hörst, Alter, was ist das?
Do you speak English?
What is this? What is all this for?
Oh, this is just for schnitz and giggles.
Schnitz and giggles!
Welcome to Schnitz and Giggles, the podcast that stumbles upon the humor of cross-cultural confusion and life in Vienna, Austria, through the experiences of an Ausländer and his Wiener.
Brought to you by the Edelweiss Crackers.
Disclaimer. This podcast is for the purpose of entertainment only and is not a replacement for therapy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Edelweiss Crackers. But we're coming to you from Vienna, a lovely neighborhood of Leopoldauerplatz. Doxing myself. Is that what the kids say when you give out your address to something? Doxing.
Doxing.
Now people are going to come.
I've never heard.
Now all doxing. Our fans are going to be outside the window. Yeah. In the Platz, yeah. Cheering for us.
You said Stephansplatz, right?
Yes, Stephansplatz.
That's where we're recording.
We're recording from the bell tower. So if you hear any bells, that's where they're coming from.
Great.
Well, hello, Lucas.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for this wonderful introduction.
What an introduction.
Unrehearsed, but almost live.
So what do you have for me today?
Well,
what are we going to talk about?
We'll talk about the city of Vienna. We opened up this topic last time and talking about living in Austria, in Vienna. And especially, you'll focus on expats living in Vienna.
Not current pets.
Not current pets. But expats and maybe former expats who used to be current pets and are now ex-expats.
Ex-current expats.
I'm not sure if all people actually know the term expats. It's the one friend we talked to last time.
That's right.
He was like, what are expats?
Fair point.
Do you know?
But I'm sure our listeners are smart enough to know what expats are.
Sure. And they have search engines available.
That's right.
We'll not define expats.
Yeah, because then we might like show that we don't really know what expats means. That'd be embarrassing.
A bit embarrassing. If you, by now, if our listeners have looked up the definition of expats, I would claim that Michael here is an expat, a current expat.
Correct.
And my question to you is, as we open up this episode, what is it like living in a foreign country, a country different than where you're from by definition?
Yeah, a country different than my passport country, I guess, for specific clarity.
Mm-hmm.
For all of you passport holders who might have been born in a country different than your passport.
It sounds so complicated.
Very complicated. Expat life.
Expat life, yeah. Third culture.
It is complicated. Third culture kids and third culture adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really broad question. What life is like for an expat living. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. It's fun. It's great.
We have to remember that our listeners don't know that, maybe. But you've moved to Austria twice by now, like in your lifetime.
Correct.
You've moved here a couple years ago, then you moved away again, back to the States, and now you're back in Vienna. So you've been settling in twice.
Correct.
Which is quite the accomplishment, I would say.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. And you've lived in other countries other than the States.
Correct.
And compared to the other countries in your experience, settling in Austria, how was that for you?
Well, I think settling in a different country brings along a lot of challenges that you don't even realize that you are going to face. I mean, I think there's a lot of things when you're in your home country, in your native language, there's a lot of like bureaucratic steps that you just know about, or there's enough people around you that have gone through it that can explain these things easily, like the process of renting an apartment or a house or opening up a bank account or things like this.
Sure.
And those are hard enough, I think, in your home culture, but they're just kind of the steps that you have to take during daily life. But when you're settling in with a new footprint into a new place, then it all happens at once. And so that gets difficult. And trying to get answers out of people as to what you really need to do can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. But you've mastered this. I mean, right now, I mean, you have an apartment.
We do indeed. Yeah. Yes.
And you have a visa. Like you're legal. You're all good to
we're,
go.
Yeah, we're paying our taxes.
Paying our taxes even.
The government knows where we live. We've registered.
Yes. Reaping the benefits of socialism.
That's right. Well. Yeah. Living the socialist dream in this socialist paradise that is Austria.
So you came out on top, basically.
Well, at least in the upper third, maybe.
Something.
Well, I think In our case, our second time around, we engage the services of a very good attorney, very good attorney who has helped us through a lot of these steps of the process. And one of her number one staff members who even took me to the visa office and helped us rent our first apartment. So, you know, a good attorney with a good staff is good.
Yes. And you have the knowledge of the locals like available to you, all the insights and the tips and tricks you might need.
Yeah, I think maybe our second time settling in was easier because it wasn't our first time.
Oh, wow.
It's a little mind-blowing wisdom that after you do things the first time, the second time gets easier, hopefully.
Michael will be setting a book with this wisdom.
The second time's always easier
than the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason I'm asking is what we're talking about just casually here. Some people do that for a living, more or less. There's this institution, what's it called? Internations. And they basically do a survey every year. So they've interviewed people from 53 different countries, asking them, okay, you've lived abroad, you've lived here and you've there. Like, so they interview all kinds of people all around the world. And they say, like, which countries are easier, which are harder to move to, like, settle in, get acquainted with, like, everything, the people, the language, all these things. Mm. And Austria is always an interesting candidate when it comes to the ranking.
Okay, so they're one of the 53 countries.
They're one of the 53.
Makes sense. Very international community.
And as you also know, is that Vienna has been placed atop the number one city.
That's right. Number one place to live.
One place to live, which means that Austria must be,
should be pretty easy to settle in. Probably hanging out towards the top of the list.
Yeah, if you turn it upside down. Because out of those 53, in terms of settling in, Austria ranks 52.
52? I mean, at that point, like, kind of disappointing that they weren't 53rd.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to be last, you might as well be fully last. Who was last?
Last is Kuwait.
Kuwait.
It's the one country that's harder to settle in than Austria.
Do you know who was 51st?
51st?
Yeah.
No, like, I don't have the complete list with me, but I can tell you who's first.
Okay.
It's the country of Mexico.
Huh.
And then comes Spain, and then comes Panama.
Spanish-speaking countries, top of the list.
Seems like Spanish-speaking countries make the list.
Oh, wait, you said Portugal was number 3?
No, Panama.
Panama.
Because Portugal...
Portugal's not Spanish. That's why I got confused. I was about to catch you.
But
catch myself.
It's kind of Spanish what they're talking in Portugal, but they call it Portuguese.
Yes.
But they are like number 10 that I do know, because they're like the second European country right after Spain. So Spain is number 2, Portugal is number 10. So the other countries to live in, or to settle in at least, are not European for the most part. Which is funny also because I thought, well, first of all, I have to tell you this, that Internations company, institute, is actually a German company.
Okay, so that. I think they would have stacked the deck a little bit.
So I thought, like, okay, they don't like the Austrians, maybe. So they say,
okay.
It's work with the numbers, and maybe then Austria comes out second to last.
Seems pretty.
But then, if you look at the ranking of Germany, Germany comes out 50.
I mean, that's still better than Austria, I guess.
Yes. That's the one thing that counts. Yeah. And Switzerland is 47.
Okay.
So we have all the main German-speaking countries
down towards the bottom.
Down towards the bottom. Only beaten by Kuwait.
Inexplicable.
So
maybe.
Or maybe we'll solve it. Now, this is the episode that solves all the mysteries.
Perfect.
Concerning how do you live in Vienna, how do you live in Austria, and how do you settle in?
So thinking about settling somewhere, like obviously when I was explaining our time settling, it was all about the bureaucratic stuff, right? Like registering and getting a visa and paying taxes and all that stuff, which I guess is a pretty important part of settling, right?
Yeah. No way around that. At least not in Austria.
Yeah. But I guess I haven't thought too much about all the other elements of settling, like feeling settled.
Mm. Like how welcome do you feel here? Like, or how quickly can you feel at home in this new place?
Feeling at home.
And especially when you meet the real people. I mean, I'm talking about the people at the offices and, you know, I mean, they're like just doing their job.
Right.
But like when you meet your neighbors, when you meet people on the street or just around you.
Yeah, I guess it takes a little bit of time to, I mean, in that case, maybe I pop myself down a little bit off the top of settling in. If feeling at home is the benchmark, that's a hard one to figure out if you're actually at that point. But I guess the interpersonal relationships then are part of that, right? Your neighbors and all that.
Sure. You have to say to
I'm speechless by this.
Speechless by this epiphany.
Yeah. I mean, I guess thinking about what it takes to feel welcome somewhere, that something along the lines of like the friendliness of the people has to be something. I'm not sure how friendly Austrians. I know that like they're perceived as not being the most friendly people. Sorry about it. Maybe
the numbers will change your mind.
Well, I mean, I know my experience. I mean, the first day we were here in the country, my son got yelled at for being in the elevator by himself as he was moving stuff into our new apartment. That wasn't very friendly.
How did that happen?
He was in the elevator by himself, and as he came out, one of our neighbors said, "Hey, you're not supposed to be on the elevator by yourself." In German. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I don't speak German. I just got here." And she's like, "Well, why don't you speak German?" He's like, "I got here yesterday." And she's like, "Well, that's no excuse."
No, it isn't.
Which, in my mind, seems like a perfectly reasonable excuse to not be speaking a language.
Well, in other countries, maybe.
not in Austria. You should be prepared.
Yep.
So I suppose my son's first experience in the country was a lack of friendliness. I don't know if that anecdote would line up with the numbers. We are a science-based podcast, so.
Trying the best to be.
That's right.
But we can only take numbers that others provide for us.
That's
and thankfully, we also surveyed that the friendliness
okay,
part.
Good. All right. Thank you, Internations.
Yes, thank you for that.
Not a sponsor.
And, well, we don't have to look very far because when it comes to friendliness, Austria comes out last.
Oh, boy.
So first, we're second to last. Now we're last.
Well, that's good. That then kind of helps explain why it's so hard to settle here. I mean, I guess those two things are pretty closely tied. Yeah.
Together, that's true. I mean, the people here can be very friendly.
Sure.
But
if you're out on a trail, hiking.
Yes. Well, what you shouldn't do is like ride the elevator if you know more than.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he was breaking the rules as well. Where is Austria in the list of rule followers?
Rule followers?
Probably pretty high.
I mean, I'm sure there's a corruption index as well, but I haven't looked that up. But, you know, that's actually the main difference between Germans and Austrians. Like, both of them love rules and love regulations and setting up new rules.
Yeah.
The difference between Germans and Austrians is that the Germans actually follow through with that.
What?
So meaning in Austria, you have tons of laws and regulations, but there's usually a way around it.
Okay. But no real enforcement.
But when you go to Germany, you must.
I wasn't sure if you were starting into a joke there or if that was going to be as like, is this going to get us canceled in Germany?
No, the Germans. Actually, I got that from like a German professor.
Oh, okay.
Like, he was actually telling us, like the Austrian students, you know, you have a good living in Austria because in Germany, when we have a rule, we have to follow through with it. There's no way we can avoid it. But you guys...
You chuckleheads can get away with anything. Yeah.
So, okay. Use the freedom.
You say. All right. Well, so, okay. So there seems to be some sort of common denominator if three of the bottom five countries in settling, you mentioned Austria and Germany and Switzerland, were all like within the bottom five or so. How about in the friendliness survey? Like, were they the top five for unfriendliness for Switzerland and Germany? Or?
Well, what I do know is that Germany and Switzerland must be friendlier than Austria. they're not last.
They're at least friendlier. But are they? Are they in the?
I don't think I remember that. Like, I didn't bring all my numbers with me today.
Right. Well,
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Well, because I was thinking maybe. I mean, if these German speaking countries, like, why is German such an unfriendly language?
Is that the problem?
I don't know. I mean, it must be. I think
when you ask people, okay, if you cannot speak the local language yet, like you're moving to a country, you cannot speak the local language, how hard is it to get around without that language? Okay. And the average number is like 32% of people worldwide say like not speaking the language is a problem.
Okay.
But when it comes to Austria, 45% of the people say it's a problem.
So these are the expats.
That's the expats moving to Austria saying, like, so they agree, 45% of them agree it's tough when you don't speak German. Hmm. That's especially interesting. Here's another number for us. There's an English proficiency ranking.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, when you go to some country, how good is the English that's being spoken there?
Yeah.
And in this ranking, again, Austria is quite extreme. Austria is in spot number 3. I think it's just the European countries, though. So, like, if you're in Austria, the percentage, like, of English speakers or people capable of speaking English
is
really high. Yet, even though, like, almost every Austrian basically speaks English, the expats say, 45% of them say...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I can't go around with German. Like, if I say you speak English...
Yeah, a little.
A little.
A little. common answer.
But still, the expats don't get what they need from the Austrians without... Yeah, bridging that gap of like the foreign language they don't speak yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. So German being unfriendly as a language, that seems to be...
Would have thought.
I mean, you're pretty nice.
Well...
Friendly?
I'm only friendly when I don't speak German.
True, I guess most of our conversations are in English. So you have a
false image of me.
You're actually quite unfriendly.
You should see me down the street when I'm talking to my... And speaking friends.
Yeah, just a lot of unfriendliness.
Yeah, lots of aggression and lots of hostility.
When I was teaching at a school in the States, we had a pair of twins who were foreign exchange students from Germany. Mm. And I was walking through the halls once and heard them having a conversation. This was before, obviously, I had any experience in Austria, so I was I was ignorant to maybe some tonal things. And they're just, you know, they're having a conversation and it sounded really intense. and so afterwards I had one of the twins in my class. And I'm like, are you and your brother okay? Like, were you guys fighting in the halls? Like, I didn't want to like interrupt because I thought I might get a punch, you know? And he's like, no, we were just having a conversation about one of our classes. Like, was it a bad conversation? They're like, no, we were just kind of talking. And he said, you know, sir, German's kind of an aggressive language. I said, all right, that was my first introduction, I think, to just how it feels unfriendly. But I don't know if that, I mean, that doesn't necessarily translate into why expats would feel that they like don't fit in or can't get around if they don't have a high German fluency.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, of course, the German language has this reputation that it sounds very harsh and aggressive.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. Today, even a student asked me in class, she asked me, okay, how do you say I love you in German?
Yeah.
Beginner's class. And I say, okay, I mean, in German you say, ich liebe dich. That would be the German way of saying I love you. And she was like, but mister, can you say it in the most aggressive way possible? Make it sound more aggressive. And then like all the other students started saying, I love you, like in German in a very aggressive manner.
Oh boy.
So we did that for a minute or so. we're just sharing a love in German.
Love wins.
Love wins. I think, of course, the language will have to do something with it, but the language often reflects the culture in general and the attitude that's been conveyed and transported, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because it's incredible that the expats, they say that 45% of the people are unfriendly here in Austria. The worldwide average is 18%.
Okay.
It's 43%. That's much better than 45. So,
I can't trust anything you have to say now, Lucas. Changing numbers on me.
No. So 43% say the natives in Austria are quite unfriendly towards foreigners.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, Austrian natives are unfriendly to Austrian natives as well. It's not just the foreigners.
Yeah, don't take it personal, expats.
Well, sometimes
they don't
want
anybody. Well, you do.
Because there is discrimination and there's racism.
Austria doesn't have the greatest track record when it comes to its dealing with people they see as outsiders. So.
Nope. And that's kind of a funny thing to say, but also maybe a disturbing thing to say. You know, these numbers make the news. That's why I brought them with me today, because... In Austria, like this, like, hey, yeah, we're number one.
We did it.
Yeah, like Vienna again ranks as the top city in the world for years and years and years. And then the friendliness index is becoming worse and worse. Like, I think we can't go lower than that where we're at right now. And some people, some often say, well, I don't care about that because, well, we are unfriendly
anyway.
Yeah,
the way we should be.
So we should be. And if a lot of these people don't come, like if a lot of these tourists don't come around, then this place will be much nicer anyway. So we don't care. Which, of course, is a very short-sighted statement. Yeah. However, it's these are real statements that people...
Right, people believe in.
Believe in.
I don't know if knowing that makes the settling process easier.
Hmm.
If you can kind of just chalk up the difficult experiences at a visa office or something to just, oh, well, that's just a reflection of the culture, so on we go. I mean, maybe that makes it easier to settle in, but...
Well, I think you have to brace yourselves when you touch down with a plane at the airport. Because Vienna is actually known for a long time. Even like the Germans know that. Like, I mean, the closer neighbors know that.
Yeah.
And especially Vienna compared to other places in the country of Austria. Vienna has this special term. It's called Grant.
Grant.
Mm-hmm. And it describes some sort of grumpiness. Can you say the grumpiness?
Okay.
Like people are grumpy, but that's not really like, sometimes not all the time. It's just some characteristic that pops up in the right moment or in the wrong moment, maybe. And it's just common knowledge that when you are out in the street and you meet someone, you cannot expect like a friendly interaction. It's not what you should be expecting. It might happen.
Yeah.
And then you have a good day.
Yeah.
And you're a lucky moment.
Yeah.
However, it's not unusual to have an encounter that in some other cultures and some other countries would be considered very rude. So some say that's a bad thing. Some say it's a good thing.
Just a thing, I guess. I mean, I do think understanding that a little bit better and just bracing yourself for the potential rudeness or perceived rudeness makes things a little bit easier. I'd be really curious as to like what people's perceptions of what they were getting into ahead of time, like what that has to do with their perception after they've lived here. So like if they expected it to be super easy to settle here, and everybody was going to be friendly, and you know maybe they're just moving from Mexico, and so
it's like, ooh.
They moved from America to Mexico and had a great experience, and now they're moving to Vienna and they're expecting the same. Maybe that makes it feel that much harder. It's just strange that like that the number would be so high for the people saying that you have to like be fluent in German to like get by here in Austria, because of the proficiency of English being so high.
And it's a very, like, especially Vienna is a very international place.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I try my best to go through the day, which is like my very basic German, not speaking English, and like, you know.
Good.
I try.
Yes.
I try.
Keep on doing it.
Yay. But I also know that, like, I wouldn't have to. Like, there's obviously some situations where it seems like, maybe as you get farther away from the center of town and you go to a store somewhere out here near us, you might encounter more workers who don't feel comfortable enough with their English, even though they probably are perfectly proficient and their English is probably better than our German.
That is the question. They might have taken, I don't know, 7 years of English in school.
Yeah.
And like on paper, they really, I mean, they're very, very, very well educated.
Yeah.
But they might have never used it in like a real conversation because they never met real English speakers.
Yeah.
And then they don't feel comfortable doing it and say like, okay, well, I don't feel comfortable speaking that foreign language, even though I know like all the grammar rules and I know like everything, like for 7 years or 10 years, I don't know. But then they say, but this is Austria and it's a German speaking country. So therefore you have to speak German.
And
German. I'm not going to do it the way you want me to.
Yeah.
Like my country, my rules.
Right. And that's fair.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
The Austrians are often described to be a little more easygoing than the Germans, but still they can be very direct and very rough on the outside. And like every year I talk about this with my students, or they actually talk to me about this. They bring it up and always ask me, Mister, why are the Austrians so impolite? Why are they so grumpy?
Yeah.
And so on. And I just happened to talk to a colleague of mine who's Brazilian, and we just talked about how the Austrians are like this.
Yeah.
And he was like, I mean, typical Brazilian guy, like very positive guy, and like, you know, how you imagine Brazilians. And he was saying, you know, in Brazil, when you meet people, they're very friendly to you, but then you turn around and all your stuff is gone.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so we've offended Germans. We've offended Brazilians. Good.
Well, the Brazilian offended his own people, so I'm just quoting him.
Yeah, but...
Come on.
I don't think that gets you off the hook, Lukey.
Okay. We can invite the Brazilian. I'll have it on the show. Bring him here and
just let him get all the hate.
One statement,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, just tell me what you told me about Brazilian.
However, I mean, there are cultures that will be very friendly on the outside. And you know what I mean. They can just lie to you in a way, but be very friendly.
Yeah, I think there are certain cultural indicators that other people have studied and that we don't have any of those numbers. But I know that there is this classification of cultures, you know, the whole spectrum of, you know, cold cultures that, you know, with a lot of European cultures that seem very unfriendly and probably are at the surface level, all the way to the very warm cultures that are, you know, when you first meet somebody, they treat you like you're their long lost family member or something. Mm. And yet you never get kind of beyond that initial surface greeting. So I guess people are people. So
you've offended all the people.
Second book titled People Are People. Wisdom. So why should we get along so awfully? And so I think people are going to reflect the way they were raised and the places they were in. Right. And so that's, we make these big statements about countries because they're made up of individuals, and yet for what purpose? Cause obviously every single one of the people in that internation survey, I would imagine, has a very unique and different experience.
Yeah. Different backgrounds.
And yeah, they're coming from different backgrounds with different expectations and they have different encounters and they live in different neighborhoods. Mm. And so I guess as we do this podcast for the person who is maybe living here or hoping to live here, what tips would we give somebody, maybe somebody who's perceiving a call in their life to go move to another country, or they have a job offer to Vienna and they're considering this and they look up these surveys and they see, oh, it's a great place to live, but it's really hard to get settled.
Yeah.
How do we help these people? Well, I mean, the Austrian in you might say, don't come.
Yeah, that's my first tip. Don't move here.
Yeah.
But if you really do have to move here, good luck. But I think the main expectation, as you touch down on the airport, I think should be, if you encounter any unfriendliness, then it's sometimes more of a value. Like we talk about different values in cultures.
Yeah.
Like the opposite value would be other warmer cultures would be, okay, I'm going to lie to your face because I don't want to offend you. Even though I might even, you know, some countries you ask for directions and they will tell you the wrong directions just because they don't want to offend, say, I don't know the way.
They don't want to be ashamed, either you or them. Right.
In Austria, it's kind of the other way around. When they are unfriendly to you, they would often just be that in order to establish order.
Yeah.
They'll tell you what's wrong, what you should not do, what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, they're really helping the outsider in some ways, right? I mean, we would have never known.
Yeah, like the elevator.
The elevator situation. If our neighbor hadn't so kindly told our son that he's not allowed.
Yes. And sometimes you might end up in tears and feeling ashamed of yourself.
Hey, that's just learning.
It's just learning.
It's like your class, man.
Yeah, but I think the one thing that the Austrians, Viennese especially, how they deal with it is just not to take it too seriously. I know it's hard to do that. When someone's really screaming at your face.
Yeah, getting schimpfed on the U-Bahn never a fun experience.
Right. And you don't know what you're doing wrong because you don't speak the language yet. Correct. So
they're probably yelling at you in Wienerish as well.
And that's even harder to understand than the standard German. And they might be drunk too. I mean, if they're drunk, then it might be a different story.
At 10 a.m.
They will talk maybe at 10 a.m. Yeah, it's not impossible either.
Nope.
But they might be offended because of some politics or for some politician.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
So tip one out of all that. Tip one is to not take it so seriously.
Yeah.
Maybe tip 1B is to figure out that there is a learning opportunity there, right? Like there's, even in the midst of somebody's unfriendliness or perceived unfriendliness, there is, from their perspective, they are just trying to tell you the right order of things or how to do things correctly. And I think having a mind towards that of okay, well, I just got yelled at in public.
Yes.
What does this tell me? Obviously, you can't figure that out a lot of times on your own. Mm. So maybe that leads into tip two.
Yeah. What is it?
objective two. I mean, I think it's one thing that you have been, and I think you've also encouraged over time, is to having those friends around you who are locals, mm-hmm. like build a relationship with people, which takes time, as you know, we haven't really got into, but maybe that'll be for another podcast. But to have somebody around you to help explain, because I think in trying to learn those things, having a local person that you trust, obviously that's harder to do if you're just landing at the airport and getting yelled at.
Yes.
How many tips are we giving?
Well, I think there's...
Do you have another tip?
I think tip three, I'm going to start it with a question.
Ooh, that's a hard tip.
Yes. I think the question I'm going to throw out here is, how can it be that Vienna is the top number one city to live in the world, while at the same time, it's the most unfriendly place? Like, how do those two things come together at all? And I think the answer that I've found for myself is, Vienna is such a nice place to live in. It really is.
Can confirm.
Like, we have the numbers
down
to it.
Yeah.
And the reason why some people become uneasy with strangers is because some are worried that people might damage, might break that nice little thing.
Sure.
That's almost like a little urban paradise. And if you act the wrong way, you might ruin it and ruin the experience for the locals as well for anyone else.
Yeah.
So people might be very, how should I say, very sensible, saying like, don't do the wrong thing because we've taken ages to build this city.
Yeah. We're protecting what
the city.
We have. Yeah.
And so if you walk a red light, you're endangering like the safety of the whole city.
Chaos will ensue for sure.
Confidence. Yeah. Exactly. So if you take it from that point of view, maybe understand those people that you are kind of want to become friends with here.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, there are crazy people here, there are cruel people here, there are racist people here. As a matter of fact, there's another study that's just brand new, talk about racism, and the top two nations that came out, you might guess it. Number one, Germany, number two, Austria.
Oh boy, something's...
It's like 70-something percent of like people with darker skin here in Vienna said they have had bad experiences.
Yeah.
So that's true as well. And that has nothing to do with keeping the quality of the city's life intact.
Although my guess is that if you talk to those people
on the subjective level,
they're probably thinking that they are protecting.
Because,
they think that these people are going these outsiders. Yeah. And they're obviously outsiders because they look different than what they think
Absolutely.
An insider should look like.
And it comes down to this basic human fear that whatever is strange might be dangerous.
Yeah.
And so if people look strange, like they don't look like a local. Some people immediately perceive them as dangerous, although this might be like a UN officer working for the peace, like the whole world, and be like just happen to have.
Or it could be like a third or fourth generation Austrian.
That's possible as well. Yes,
quite possible.
So of course that has to be said. There might be people who are not just having the best interest of the city in mind, and are just want to be cruel to you.
Yeah.
Yes, but in both ways. Vienna is still one of the safest places in the world as well.
That's right.
So, and even though crimes do happen, it's very rare. But of course, there's discrimination. Yet, like I said, some just want to keep order. And so it's one way of welcoming you to this country is to teach you.
Make you feel like you're belonging.
Like you said, it's a very, very, very valuable tip to say, find some local friends and try to get into that. And I think we'll probably cover this in the next episode.
Yeah,
how to make friends.
Friends
in Austria.
Yeah,
because
a good one.
That's another tough thing since we are so unfriendly. We're not looking for new friends.
So I don't know if the point of our podcast is to encourage people to move here or not move here.
Just believe
it. Or just to put it all out there. Yeah, this is obviously our experiences as an expat and a local guy born and raised here who has experienced a lot of
mayhem.
Yeah, I mean, your interaction with expats, both former and current, is one that I think it brings a lot of insight into what somebody might be having to go through. So,
and I think what we can provide here is at least you know what's coming at you if you decide to live here, or if you're already living here, maybe some things make more sense now.
Hopefully.
If you're a current expat or an ex-expat or a former ex-current pet. I don't know what I'm saying right now.
All right, I think we're a guten bye-bye.
I think we are ready for a guten bye-bye.
Tschüss.
Thanks for listening to this Schnitz and Giggles episode.
Remember to follow and subscribe if you want more content like this from the Edelweiss Crackers.
Don't be shy about commenting or leaving feedback. Until next time.
So long
Fabel.
Good Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.